Welcome back to the program. Mega matchup this weekend in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Florida. The two have three of the last four national championships. Alabama, of course, coming off of the one last year.
I am looking forward to the matchup of the supposed 5-2 defense that Florida is going to bust out against the Bama run game to try to slow down the Heisman winner and Trent Richardson.
But Florida definitely is going to institute something new. And from all the people I've talked to down in Florida and I've heard from on other programs, they seem to think that something is up Urban Meyer's sleeve here defensively. And you just alluded to the 5-2, but is it just a 5-2? I mean, he thinks, Urban Meyer thinks, and I listened to the teleconference the other day, he really thinks he can stop. He has a confidence. You know, Urban Meyer's obviously pro-confident, and he has every reason to be in every game he goes into. But this one, a little bit more, I noticed a little bit different mentality from Urban Meyer, kind of a swagger like it's almost done. You know, he thinks he can win. He thinks he can stop the Heisman Trophy winner and his exceptional backup, Trent Richardson. What do you think about that?
If he commits to stopping the run and forces Alabama to beat them with the pass, I think Alabama actually has a quarterback that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know McElroy's had trouble. He had that one errant interception against Duke, and then he had two bad decisions against Arkansas, which is very unlike him, very uncharacteristic
really
of him. But I really think that if they want to force him to just throw the ball, Bama will go and do a spread, much like Florida will use against Alabama, and say, hey, we can spread you out just as well. They've got receiver depth. They've got Julio Jones and Marquise Mays and Darius Hanks.
And who has really become on.
He has become clutch.
Mm-hmm.
He has become clutch. So you have three elite receivers, and if they want to just go with that, I can really see Alabama saying, fine, you want us to beat you with the passing game? We'll do that. We'll beat you with the passing game. And the problem would be is, if Bama decides to go into a hurry-up like we saw them do against Penn State and Florida's trapped with the wrong personnel on the field, Florida will have to burn a timeout or try to convert something on their defense right. with the 5-2. From all of us that have played NCAA football, when you're running a 5-2 and you have five defensive linemen and you have to convert to a team that audibles out to a pass, it's difficult. You don't have the right personnel. There's going to be a mismatch on the field somewhere. And it's up to the quarterback to find that mismatch. And I think McElroy, the Rhodes Scholar candidate, has the smarts to do that. I'm looking forward to seeing McElwain, what he comes up with, because everyone's talking about, oh, Florida's have all these new wrinkles. Florida's going to have all these new wrinkles. I think Alabama's got some wrinkles in there as well. And defensively,
right.
we're going to get to see Kirby Smart and Nick Saban match wits with Urban Meyer. Now, Patrick Julian on the Feinbaum show said that the Florida coaching staff wasn't really sure how to incorporate a down-the-field passing game, but now that they've kind of got it, I think that they'll be able to see and test the young Alabama secondary, who was, let's face it, horrendous in the first half of the Arkansas game,
mm-hmm.
okay in the third quarter, and then they finally grew into themselves in the fourth. Will they continue to grow? Will they be able
yeah.
to come against a Florida with Brantley, who supposedly
best
passer.
He hasn't improved himself yet. He has made some good plays and he's made some costly plays, but he hasn't made anything drastically bad yet for Florida to cost him a ball game or anything. But I still think he's in a lot of Florida fans' mind hasn't proven himself yet. So it'll be interesting to see this weekend if he can really put up some big numbers, and even if they're in a losing effort, but especially if he leads them to victory, how that would boost him.
Brantley has potential, but I see this more as Leak and Tebow 2.0. Do you not?
Trey Burton and John Brantley are very similar to Tebow and Leak, and Trey Burton having five touchdowns last week was just more than impressive. And Kentucky, you know, they're not a bad team that Florida beat. So, yeah, I think Alabama does need to fear that dual threat. And I agree with you in what you said a minute ago. The secondary from Alabama is the biggest issue. I think Alabama's down linemen and linebackers can handle that running attack, which is Florida's biggest offensive threat. I think if Brantley sits back there and tries to pick off the secondary and has success with that early, then it could cause some problems.
The funny thing to me, though, is Trey Burton has the longest Florida completion of the year at 42 yards.
Hmm.
I believe let me double check, but I don't think that Brantley has a completion over 30 yards. All his stuff has been under 30 yards. So, it's very interesting to me that this was supposed to be the year that they were just going to air it out. They're going to throw it down there. They really haven't done that. They've struggled offensively the first half a lot of games. They've gotten out to slow starts, except against Kentucky. Kentucky looked like the Florida offense we're used to seeing. Will they continue this? It'll be good. Bama had a great game plan last year going into the SEC championship game. And if they're going to try to do with Burton what they did with Tebow, then Bama's going to have to institute the we're not going to rush past you thing and contain Burton in the pocket.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, as I heard one caller today on the opening drive say, they're going to run the Wildcat with Burton. Bama goes against the Wildcat a lot with Ingram and Richardson and Mays. So it's not like they won't know how to defend it. So we'll see.
Well, but it's you're right, but they do defend the Wildcat. But I think it's more than the Wildcat. And you brought it up a second ago that Trey Burton has an arm. I mean, he's thrown a 48-yard pass. He can throw the football if he has to, which, you know, usually a Wildcat can throw. But if you're a running back, they're not going to let you throw that often. So it's more of a Tebow or Cam Newton situation.
All right, Trey Burton so far has 11 carries for 55 yards on the year with 11 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So he's doing well. It's interesting to see that Brantley, although he's struggled, he has only one interception on the year. So it's not like he's inaccurate. He's throwing at 64% completion percentage, but he's only averaging about 6 yards a completion.
Yeah.
Which if you want to nickel and dime someone, that's great, but Florida's supposed to be a big offensive juggernaut. They're supposed to have these explosive plays that are very difficult to stop, and we just really haven't seen that from Florida this year.
Oh, yeah.
I really think this game will boil down to the performance of Mark Ingram. If Mark Ingram really has a big game, I think this is a Bama victory. The comment of the week for Florida goes to Pat Dooley from the Gainesville Sun, saying that if Florida can be within 3 or 4 points heading into the fourth quarter, they'll win the game.
Interesting.
I think that's somewhat true, but I think if Bama can stay out on top, start fast, and keep the lead, I really don't think Bama will relinquish the lead. They know how to play from ahead. They know how to play from behind. Right. And I think they have...
Yeah, the last week, yeah.
I mean, they know how to hunker down and just get the job done on defense. They've got a lot going for them. I think we saw some potential for this Bama secondary last week. Now, as Jim Dunaway is so fond of saying, PBP, pressure burst pipes. Mm-hmm. If Bama can consistently pressure Brantley and force him into bad decisions and catch the ball on the interceptions instead of dropping them, they will be able to beat Florida without a doubt.
Right.
And that's why I'm going to say Alabama wins a squeaker 21-17.
I think that's a good pick. I actually think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than that, but I think that's a good pick. But I think this is a tough. What's the line now?
Last line I saw was 9.5.
Oh, it's still up there. Wow.
Let me double check, but I believe it was 9.5.
Well, see, and that's what I don't get. I mean, to me, this game's a pick'em game. I mean, it's not. You shouldn't have any line on it because the two teams are so equal. They contrast so well.
Right now, a lot of people are taking the under. It has dropped from 9.5 down to 7.5, and the over-under is at 48.5.
You predicted 21-17 Alabama. I predict Alabama as well, but I'm predicting a little bit closer. Alabama wins 30-28. I think a few touchdowns are scored by each team. A late field goal. I mean, I really think this one's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a fantastic game to watch as a fan, as you do. I think it's going to be a very intense game. This could end up being a dud, you know, for that. And I think if it ends up being a blowout, it'll be in Alabama's favor. I cannot see Florida coming into Tuscaloosa and blowing Alabama.
I can see Florida blowing out Alabama, and I can see Alabama blowing out Florida. But I'm saying these teams are so prepared. I think last year Florida felt they were entitled to the national championship game, that they were going to be, it was going to be the crowning moment as the best senior class in Florida history, in college football history. They felt entitlement. I don't think Alabama has that. I think they have the lunch pail attitude. We have to work for everything. We're not going to be given anything.
The games this weekend, other than that one, which we had discussed, Louisiana Monroe plays at Auburn. Let's talk a minute about Auburn. Cam Newton leading the Tigers, doing a fantastic job. Another great win against a team from South Carolina.
The Auburn Tigers impressed me. I really thought Stephen Garcia had grown up and that he would lead South Carolina victory. Boy, was I wrong. Cam Newton continues to impress. I think he has potential to be the second greatest player in Auburn's history. I really think that Bo Jackson's untouchable for Auburn, but Cam Newton is just a special talent. He he did the Superman dive. I think he leapt from the eight and landed in the end zone when he did the Superman dive. He's killing them with their feet. He's okay as a passer, but that threat as a scrambler is going to open up his passing game more.
It has to, because teams have not committed yet to completely stop his running game.
Dyer starting to come on strong as a great freshman. But the big thing is Auburn needs Cam Newton to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I believe he accounted for all five touchdowns last week, three rushing, two passing. He is their offense. If something were to happen to Cam Newton, Auburn is in deep trouble.
Yeah.
So I think
it affects the defense too.
It does. I think they'll realize this against La Monroe. If he played beyond the second quarter, I'd be shocked. I really think that Auburn. I really want to call Auburn Alabama for some reason. I believe that Auburn will just.
A lot of people would take offense to that.
Just a few. I believe Auburn will run roughshod all over La Monroe, and it will not be a pleasant return trip to the state of Alabama for La Monroe.
Yeah, no, not as good as last time. Alcorn State at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs were able to pull off a victory over the Bulldogs this past weekend and get one in Starkville. Big win for Dan Mullen.
It was a huge win for Dan Mullen. It's probably going to put them in a position to make a bowl, which is big in their second year. I mean, if you look at their remaining schedule, Mississippi State has Houston, who doesn't have Case Keenum, so they should be all right. They're at Florida. We'll probably lose that. UAB, they should beat UAB.
They should win. Yeah.
They should beat Kentucky. Probably not going to beat Alabama. Yeah. Probably not going to beat Arkansas, but they should beat Ole Miss.
That
would be
always
one,
strange.
Two, three, four, five victories, and they already have two now. So that would put them at seven wins, which would get them to a decent bowl, probably Music City.
I agree. A great job in his second year done by Dan.
And he's turning them around. He's still got to get that quarterback. He doesn't really have a quarterback. Ralph kind of stepped up against Georgia, made some plays, made some great throws. But was mainly due to busted coverage by Georgia, but he was able to see the receiver.
Coming along.
He was able to see the receiver.
Right.
So we'll see how they progress as the season goes on, but they have potential to be a very dangerous team. Not as a title threater, but not as a title contender, but as a we're going to upset you team. They're just going to be a little upset alert for a couple of their games.
Vanderbilt at Connecticut.
That ought to be a good game.
Yeah.
UConn has not lived up to the billing. They've seemed to get slow out of the start since they lost to Michigan. That was supposed to be their coming out party, and they lose in the Big House. They just really haven't looked good. They've been okay, but we'll see. Vanderbilt, they've surprised the people. I'm going to say Vandy.
Yeah.
I think Vandy can win.
I do too. I initially picked UConn, but I think in the end Vanderbilt will win.
Stat for that game. Outside of FCS opponents and non-conference opponents for the Big East, they have one victory over an FBS non-conference opponent.
Really? Wow.
Buffalo. They've lost to all their other marquee non-conference opponents that were FBS. So you got to think the Big East is certainly becoming the Big Least, and Mountain West Conference is probably going to get that AQ status very soon.
Right. Georgia at Colorado, Mark Richt, and we'll talk about this.
Is this a must-win? Is this a must-win or desperately needing to win, cannot afford to lose anything at all cost game?
You know, Mark Richt, he's in deep trouble. I mean, three straight losses is just absolutely unacceptable, especially to Mississippi State if you're a Georgia fan. So I think it is a must-win, to be honest with you. I don't know if he can even save his job. I know a lot of writers over there are saying, well, yeah, no, he can go 2-9 and still get in. No,
he has a very manageable stretch here at Colorado, home for Tennessee, home for Vanderbilt, at Kentucky, but then the big one, the cocktail party. So he needs to win these four games, get them to five games. Then they get Idaho State, which would get them six. So, and then they finish up with Auburn at Auburn and home for Georgia Tech. The hot seat for Richt, everyone's saying he's such a great guy. He's not really on a hot seat. He can go 2-10.
Right.
No, he can't. This is the SEC. It's an arms race, and he is falling very, very far behind. You've got Alabama. You've got Florida. And now Auburn's starting to come on. They're starting to get a solid recruiting base.
Yeah.
Auburn, Florida, and Alabama are going into Georgia and getting these prize recruits that Richt really didn't have to compete for before.
Yeah.
Now
he's getting picked apart, and we saw this with Tommy Tuberville too. And
we saw
Nick
this
Saban,
Phil Fulmer
and of course Mike Shula. I've seen this story one too many times. I think Mark Richt, it could very possibly be done by the end of this year. But I think Georgia wins the game. I think this is a very mediocre Colorado team, but I think Georgia gets it done.
I agree.
Moving on to Kentucky at Ole Miss.
You got to like Kentucky. Kentucky
yeah, you do.
Is bringing a
Even though they got slobber knocked last week.
But that's Florida. I mean, let's face it. Kentucky's made some steps up in the program, but they're nowhere near the level of Florida, Alabama. They will beat Ole Miss because Ole Miss is struggling. Ole Miss got a nice win last week against Fresno State.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but they're that's a whack team.
Right.
No offense to the whack. You've got one team, maybe two with Nevada. And, I mean, that conference is
I'm not putting a lot of stock in Cal. I know they're really hyping up that victory. Mississippi has been a total disappointment, and that's, I mean, obviously.
Jeremiah Masoli has not made the impact he was supposed to make.
No, that's going to be an interesting story to follow as we continue throughout the season. Tennessee, finally, at LSU. That's the CBS early game, 2:30 before Alabama. In Tiger Stadium, there's no way in the world Tennessee will have a shot at this. I mean, you got Tennessee going up against LSU. There is no way in the world Tennessee can even stay on the field with them. LSU wins by one.
In the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. Tennessee's offense, if they can click and their defense can just play, because let's face it, LSU has no offense. They've got a great defense. They're the Baltimore Ravens circa 2000. Mm-hmm. They ride their defense to victory and pray their offense doesn't screw up.
Well, David Sears, Jacob Bunn, it's going to be a great weekend of games. Hope you enjoy it.